Hi, hello, how are you, sunshine? Welcome to the Waves of Joy podcast. My name is Shauna Diddle. I am a small town girl from upstate New York. I'm a diagnostic medical sonographer, a certified personal trainer, digestive health specialist, six-figure entrepreneur, future functional medicine doctor, and conscious joy spreader. I am obsessed with helping you navigate the undercurrents of life. The time we spend together will teach you how to live simply, leave the mundane, travel the world, demystify happiness, and radiate joy. So get ready to massively uplevel your life starting today. No matter how much I eat, there's always room for dessert. Dessert doesn't go to the stomach. Dessert goes to the heart, the mind's journal. I know one of you is like, hell yeah, Shauna, I'm here for this episode. Tell me why I need that dessert that I always have room for. I'm with you. I do too. I just don't understand it. I was like, there's got to be some chemical cocktail scientific method behind why I can make room for that piece of pie, that piece of chocolate, anything dessert after I'm stuffed. It could be a heavy meal of pasta. It could be a pizza. It could be bison and veggies. It could be anything. And luckily, I don't eat until I'm sick. I like to do the 80-20 rule. I like to be 80% full. And this means that I eat slower. I'm not on my phone scrolling. I'm not mindlessly watching TV. I'm around good company. I'm appreciating every bite. I'm chewing every single bite. And this is a whole podcast in itself. But today we're just specifically talking about dessert. So there's something called a second stomach or a dessert stomach, and you don't actually have two stomachs, you have one, but you do have room for something sweet for these two reasons that we're going to talk about today. So remember when you were a kid and you tried to convince your parents that you were full from dinner, but you still had room for dessert? That dessert stomach is a real thing. You're not crazy. And this chemical cocktail in our brain that tells us that we have room, regardless of how full we did feel when we were eating that pasta or whatever it is that we were eating, it's telling us something. I mean, dessert fills in the gaps, right? It's this little notion that always has made me smile because like filling in the gaps is like a stretch, right? There are no gaps. There, you have a stomach and it's digesting your food before it goes down into your, you know, small intestine, large intestine, and you poop it out, right? But we justify anything. So this uncanny ability to find room for dessert, well, there's been research done over the past 40 years, and the main researcher that I found is Barbara Rolls, and a lot of people have piggybacked off of her research to create something similar, I guess you could say, similar results, which has been really awesome because I think when you can have, when you have more studies, you have more data to back things up, anything scientifically backed seems to be more supported. So this extra room for dessert is mainly because of something known as sensory-specific satiety. Triple S, sensory specific satiety. So what does this mean? Well, we've all heard of being satiated, or the word satiety. It's essentially the quality of being full, right? It refers to the combination of taste, appearance, smell, texture, whatever it is that you've been eating or you're about to eat. Think about how your salivary glands step up to the plate when you smell that pasta and that red sauce. When you smell that pizza coming out of the oven. When you smell that steak coming off the grill, you know you're ready to eat, right? And it's interesting because even if you're not very hungry, your body still prepares to eat. Your mouth still starts the digestive process long before the food's in front of you. It's quite incredible. So Dr. Barbara Rolls, she did a lot of this study, these studies at Penn State University, and she studied that triple S, sensory-specific satiety, coming from a result of chemicals with which stimulate the brain's reward center, producing pleasurable feelings when we eat. Now, this is wonderful. However, as you eat, these feelings of pleasure gradually decline. So remember that food that you could not wait to eat. Maybe it was that ice cream cone, that burger you haven't had, you know, you've been dieting for so long and you have that first bite and it is like heaven in your mouth, right? We all know this feeling. Your eyes are closed and you're just fully embracing the moment. As you keep eating that burger, that ice cream cone, those feelings of pleasure go away. And this happens with a lot of other foods, a lot of foods that we do eat. So while you might lose your appetite for that food, a different food may be appealing. And that's why you have room for dessert. It goes back to the combination of taste, appearance, smell, texture of whatever it is that you're eating. So what we perceive as the feeling of being full or satisfied actually is just a chemical cocktail telling our brain, which our brain is actually talking to us, saying like, hey, we've lost interest in this. What's next? Which is why you're thinking about dessert before dinner ends. So if you think back to those truffle French fries or, like I said, that amazing burger, the second bite, the third bite, perhaps the fifth or sixth wasn't as good as the first. This is what leads us to talk about the dessert stomach. So what is it about dessert in particular that makes us want it so much more? So there was two experiments done, which I thought were very interesting. And in the first experiment, study participants were asked to taste and evaluate the pleasantness of 8 different foods. Okay, so they were to consume these foods freely until they felt satiated. And then, again, evaluate the pleasantness of the same 8 foods. And 20 minutes after finishing the meal, see how they felt about them. Still, you know, before, during, after sort of thing. The second experiment, these participants were asked to taste and evaluate how much they liked and how much they wanted to eat the 8 foods. But this time, after the second round of tasting, the participants were offered an unexpected second course to eat. And this second course was either the same test food, so say it was pasta, as they just ate, or a different food. So there was 2 test groups here. And then they were to rate how they felt about the food. After 20 minutes, there was a steady decline in how people felt about the food. The people who received the different food, so maybe the ice cream instead of the pasta again, they were much happier and more satisfied than those who received the pasta over and over again. And what this shows is our behavioral implications when we get something different, right? So how something tastes, how it appears, what we're thinking about, it's this chemical cocktail in our brain. And when our brain loses interest, we're thinking about the next thing. You're not crazy for thinking about dessert. Thank you, Lord, for me finding these studies, because I'm not crazy. I'm always thinking about the chocolate. So there's the variety effect that comes with all of this as well. And if you look at that, it makes sense, right? Variety in a meal enhances the food that we take in. So whether people eat more of what they're already offered or something different, it depends. It depends on that literally depends on how they're feeling about something. So say you get sandwiches put in front of you with 4 different fillings, right? Or 4 courses of the same sandwich, right? Or say it's flavors of yogurt, right? Variety is important. And what they found in all these studies was food intake was greater in the variety meal when compared to just a plain meal with plain yogurt. Okay, so all these experiments showed Barbara Rolls and her team that variety mattered. And the more dissimilar the foods are, the more likely it is that you'll have this variety effect appear. Like people will actually have an increased appetite with increased meal variety. So think about your plate. What do you put on your plate? Broccoli looks, tastes, smells different than that burger, than those French fries, right? The more variety we have, we hear eat the color of the rainbow. Like all of these things matter, and they definitely determine whether you eat more or less or you stop eating. So the sensory specific satiety is something that we need to be aware of because it affects our day-to-day decisions. And how we respond to what we eat is very different too. Like what state of mind are you in? Did you get any sleep last night? Are you fighting with your spouse? Are you eating because you're bored? Right? We all eat for different reasons. We all make choices for different reasons. But the variety of food has also declined. The variety of healthy food has declined. We reach for the same couple of things. We don't switch it up. And so we're less satisfied with what we're eating. And I don't love this for you because a dessert stomach is a beautiful thing to have, right? If you can be consciously aware of it and not overeat. there was a study of another study of these dessert stomachs, I should say. These people were given a four-course meal. And one group of participants got the same food and the other received different dishes. And the second group consumed 60% more calories than the ones who received four identical courses because they stayed interested in what they were eating. Now, I'm not encouraging you to overeat by having a variety, but a healthy diet needs to be varied. It needs, our brains need to have this, these choices, right? We've evolved to have this reward system, this reward pleasure system. And it doesn't need to come from going all in, balls to the wall, overeating, undereating, but variety helps. And you need all the nutrients you can get. And I can go into experiment after experiment. It seems to be the same no matter what they're testing with people. And I think about even like gelato versus ice cream, a fruit flavor versus, you know, chocolate peanut butter. My mouth is watering. Think about cheese and crackers, right? Different types of cheeses, consistency, the taste. It's incredible. And so make sure you go into your meals with intention and with purpose, because if you're just eating out of the bag, whether it's almonds, which are a lot of calories if you don't measure them out and have a serving size, or it's a bag of potato chips, which have no nutritious value, dessert stomach is still a real thing. I offer you some time to walk away from the table when you're done eating. Take a walk outside, clean up the dishes, clean up the kitchen, then decide if you still really want the dessert. Because your brain is telling you that you need it, that it's good, it's a new food, it's interesting, you should eat it. You're talking to somebody who bakes chocolate every single week in some capacity. I've either got like chocolate coconut balls, I've got this banana nut bread that I make that's dark chocolate with matcha, I've got, you know, the sourdough with some honey cinnamon butter, I've got carbs and desserts lining the counter. But I've also taught myself how to bake really, really healthy because I do love it. It feels good. I like it. But because I have it on hand and I don't tell myself no, I'm not just filling in the gaps. I'm having it because I want it. I can eat a bite and walk away. And that's where Cam is always like, I don't know how you do that. I'm like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't make me feel good to overeat anymore because I did that for so long. When I competed, I told myself no, and then I would overeat and I would be so sick. So if you're feeling like you have a dessert stomach, if you're feeling like you always have room for something sweet, you're not crazy. It's called sensory specific satiety. And I'm not one to throw in a bunch of research on my podcast, but I wanted you to know, like, your brain is talking to you. Your brain is saying, this is something different. We want this. This is a new variety of foods. We have room for this, right? So think about that the next time you reach for something. Are you bored? Do you really want to try it? Or is it just something different? Because it's kind of like a relationship, right? We think the grass is greener on the other side. Something looks different to us. The job, something looks different about it. And maybe it is the leap you need to take. Maybe it is what you need in your life. But be intentional about the choices that you make and watch how your life changes. Because variety is the spice of life, right? What is it? Desserts is stressed spelled backwards, right? We are stressed out to the max and we don't need to be. We also don't need to be morbidly obese, which is what a lot of America is, and it makes me very, very sad. We can have the cupcake and we can have the vegetables and we can have a balanced lifestyle, but you have to make the conscious choice to do it because society isn't making this easy for us. So no matter how much you eat, there's always room for dessert. Dessert doesn't go to the stomach. Dessert goes to the heart. I love you. Have the dessert. Life is too short not to have the dessert. And I think that, you know, the whole notion of calories don't count on the weekend or whatever the case may be, you don't have to justify it. Like everything in life, moderation. Moderation. I saw one quote and I'm going to leave you with it because it made me super, made me laugh super hard. Seize the moment. Remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart. Oh, damn. I'm sure you're going to go eat some dessert now. I love you. Have the cupcake. Have the pie. Have the brownie. Everything in moderation. Okay? I love you so much. So much. You're super sweet. You're super kind. I love you so much. Drink your water. Eat your veggies. Smile.